Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, greetings, Bark Radio listeners. We are in for another delightful interview today. There's this fabulous children's book, and it is called What About Daisy? And really, it's for kids of all ages. Terry, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, we have the author and owner of Daisy, Miriam Faresh.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Welcome to Bark Radio. And first of all, Miriam, please tell our listeners who Daisy is.
So Daisy is almost 3 years old, and she was born blind and deaf, and she is our Whippet mix, we believe she is. We're not exactly sure what her breed is, but we've been told it looks like she may be Whippet mix.
Ah. And how old was she when she came to your home?
Well, we rescued Daisy at 3 months old, and she went through about three foster homes before she made it to us. We found a sign in a pet food store that had her little picture up, and it said blind and deaf puppy needed a home. And we kind of jumped on it, not sure what we were getting into at first. We had one special needs animal prior, Louie. He has just three paws. His one paw was amputated, and he came to us with his back left leg in a cast. So we had some experience with special needs, but of course each special need is very different. So we thought, well, you know, we'll do what we can. We are big fans of Rolling Dog Ranch. Now they're out of New Hampshire. So they were very supportive.
And now did you know, Miriam, from the beginning that Daisy was blind and deaf?
Yes, what happened was the foster mom that had her, she was the one that discovered that Daisy was deaf. Nobody was really aware at first that she was deaf. But you can see with her eyes were not fully developed, so you could tell that she was blind. And then we later discovered that she was deaf. So by the time we got to her, this foster mom was aware that she was both blind and deaf.
Well, tell me what it's like to live with a blind and deaf dog.
Well, you know, the first year was pretty tough for us because we were new to it. There weren't very many trainers there weren't any really that could help us. Nobody knew what to do with blind and deaf. They knew blind and they knew deaf. They didn't know the combination. We found one, trainer who was willing to kind of walk blindly, if you will, through it with us and give us some pointers. She was very scared. She was would only connect with Olivia, our other rescue dog. She refused to bond with us. She was aggressive and obviously very nervous, a lot of pacing, no sleeping. It was very difficult in the beginning. And now, 2 years later, she's amazing and is living an amazing life and is the happiest dog you'll ever meet. And so every dog and every breed is different. So we have met other deafblind dogs out there that are different breeds that are a little more mellow than Daisy. So I don't want people to think that all deafblind are, you know, a lot of work. It's a little bit more work, but not. Sometimes it's not any more different than having a regular dog, you know, that can see and hear.
Well, and I think that just dogs across the board, you know, every dog is an individual just like every human is. And I just think it's fabulous that y'all kind of learned as you went along with Daisy. And now you're advocates for dogs with special needs. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping, by no means are we experts, but we're hoping that with our experience with Daisy and Louie, we can support others who are interested in rescuing special needs. I mean, we can at least, you know, we did a lot of, you know, crazy parent emergency runs. Unnecessarily, we were nervous parents, and we'd run to the vet and say, why is she doing this? And they say, she's fine, you know, she's nervous, or this is what happens. You know, they pant, they pace, they do these things when their stomach's upset, whereas the average dog won't do those things. You know, there are little quirks in there that we could support someone with. You know, if someone decided they wanted to rescue special needs, you know, shoot us a line and say, listen, she's doing this, what do you think? And we would, of course, say, Daisy, don't worry, Daisy does it all the time, or we would say, go to your vet, you know. just to lend a hand and say, listen, you can bounce stuff off of us, and if we've experienced it, we'll let you know that it's okay.
That's a wonderful thing to do, because I think it's that community of folks with similar experiences that is so powerful.
Right, right. It's very true.
Looking through the book, the art is beautiful.
Thank you.
How biographically accurate is it for Daisy's life? I mean, it's a neat story.
Right.
I'm wondering how, you know, because I see like Miss Dee Dee's Animal Rescue, which is a great name, but I just wondered if that was real.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people ask that of how similar to Daisy's life. And when Daisy was left at this, she was just dropped at a rescue. The story is this woman had a litter of puppies and didn't want her because she was of no use to her. She couldn't sell her. And so she left her. And we have found ourselves saying over the years, well, what about Daisy? You know, if we want to do things, you sometimes have to take into consideration Daisy. And so we found ourselves always saying, well, what about Daisy? What are we going to do with her? And then we also found, you know, when we first rescued her, it was sad because everyone else in the litter, you know, found a home. But what about Daisy? They just left her because she wasn't cute and cuddly and all of those things that the average, you know, that some people look for in a puppy. They look for that, you know, the typical fun, you know, running all over the place, licking your face. And Daisy wasn't that. Daisy didn't run up to you when you walk in. You know, when you come home from work, she wouldn't race up and greet us. And she wasn't connecting with humans. And she was always separated from the group. And for us, that just made us work harder to create that bond. So in that respect, Daisy being a little left out was very true. And people did, and still do, people will stop and stare at her. Some people will be polite enough to ask, say, what's wrong with your dog? Why does she look different? But they stop and stare, and we take her to schools now to acclimate so that kids can look at her eyes and see that there's nothing wrong with her. It's okay. You know, it's okay to look different. She's silly and plays and does all the same things any other dog would do.
That is a wonderful educational opportunity.
Yeah,
I
awesome.
Love that. And that applies to everything in life. And so it's just a great lesson for kids, and they get to meet this wonderful dog.
Yeah. Definitely, and they get to see how she interacts with. We bring her sister Olivia, so they can see how Olivia supports her. Olivia is her eyes and ears when needed, and her support system. And they get to watch that. And it's one of the things I really enjoy doing is when we go to these schools, we ask the kids, tell us what you think Daisy can't do, and tell us what you think Louie, our cat, can't do. And they raise their hands, and they have all kinds of things to say. And then I'm able to say to them, actually, she can do that, and she can do that. She can pretty much do anything any other dog can do.
Wow. That's very awesome. Cool. And I love that she has her own service dog.
I know. Isn't that adorable? I mean, poor Olivia. I mean, we make sure to give Olivia her own time. She gets to go to the park by herself sometimes because she's turned into a working dog, you know. And she looks out for Daisy. She looks out for Louie. And it's very sweet.
So I have a question about that. So when you call Daisy, does Olivia tell her that she's been called?
No, that's a great question. What happens is you call Olivia, and Daisy responds because she's always up against Olivia. So she'll feel Olivia jump off the couch. She'll feel Olivia move, and that causes Daisy to move.
Neat.
That's cool.
That's
so cool.
Really neat.
Yeah.
It's her seeing eye dog. And her hearing dog. That's wonderful.
And her hearing dog. Yeah. It's and you know, the other lesson we bring with the kids is the anti-bullying theme because Louie, we have two other cats at home, and because Louie has his back legs aren't doing great, he can't defend himself. And Olivia has always taken it upon herself to intervene when the other cats try to pick on Louie. And we actually just had an incident last night with a little chihuahua that went after Daisy. And it seems to be common where people will say, that's weird, my dog never goes after other dogs. But with Daisy, they don't understand her. And so we have more often than not, we've had dogs that that come after Daisy, and Olivia gets right in the middle. And Olivia doesn't she fights back, but she intervenes more than she's fighting, if that makes sense.
Present.
And so that's been also a really great lesson to bring to the kids, too, to see how the role you can play and how you support those that need the support.
And dogs just get it.
Olivia, now, yeah.
She is, Olivia's magic. Maybe there's a book about Olivia in your future.
No, I know. We always talk about how you forget how she's kind of the shining star in all of this.
Yeah, she sounds brilliant.
Yeah, you're very lucky to have that dog and the acceptance of that dog of Daisy. I mean, that's
fabulous.
Yeah, it really makes a difference in Daisy's life.
Yeah, and that was what the last foster mom had said. She said she will only give her up if Olivia can be that surrogate mom for her.
Mm. And it worked.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be her forever home.
Yeah. And so in that respect, it's true. And so the book is that. It's about Daisy finding her forever home. It's about Louie coming in. You know, he's different too, so he supports Daisy and her in her differences. And Miss Dee Dee being the rescue mom, you know, for me that was one thing that kind of hit me was there's many nights where I was up all night with Daisy and I would be in tears because she wouldn't connect with me and she wouldn't sleep and I was at a loss on what to do. And I thought, God, parents go through this with children. I mean, that must be devastating and difficult, you know. And it just, that's where the part in the book where Miss Dee Dee realizes Daisy's blind and deaf and she says, well, what do I do? How do I help my child? You know, how do I deal with this? And that's where that inspiration came from, is thinking, I'm not the only person dealing with this. There's people with children and there's other people with special needs animals that have different needs that go through this. And they're not alone.
And how much do these special needs animals teach us? I mean, it's incredible lessons that we learn, isn't it?
Yes, they ultimately become, they are the teachers. And I think that you approach it where they're there to teach us, you know, because they don't have the ego of I'm different or I'm this or I'm that. They're just surviving, and they're doing what they need to do to survive. And we need to learn from that and support them and give them whatever resources they need to enjoy their life, because they live very ego-free. It's just survival. And I think it's very inspirational. I mean, to have both of them in our house, Louie and Daisy, is just, it really truly is every day you look and you say, okay, life is perfect. It's fine. It's fine. Because these guys are running around having a blast. Then so can I.
And, you know, Terry and I are all over the whole piece of this that is, our animals can teach us so much, and our animal, if we just pay attention to them and try to emulate them, our lives will be fabulous. And bless your heart for doing what you've done for your animals and for sharing your message. I think that's key in this, that you've learned so much, and you're teaching kids, because then they will teach other generations.
Yeah, definitely.
It is really a great story, and highly recommend the book to folks. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can pick up the book. And your website.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to remember.
That's right.
At a moment.
Where can they find you online?
So I'm at whataboutdaisy.com. You can find it also on Amazon, What About Daisy. And I just signed up on Facebook. What About Daisy on Facebook will give you free shipping.
Yay.
Wow, that's awesome.
Excellent. And I'm guessing, now, do you do public events, or is it, did you just kind of do local things with schools and that sort of thing?
Well, right now we're doing Los Angeles and San Francisco simply because traveling, we don't want, Daisy's still new to it, so we don't want to take her out of, too far out of a realm, like a structure she's used to. So for us, local is LA and San Francisco, but we definitely are going to schools. There's no fee. It's, you know, all a learning process for the kids. And if you guys are outside of L.A. or San Francisco, give me a call and we can talk and work something out, you know, if, you know, it's just about transportation. Like I said, it's about however Daisy's comfortable. So we wouldn't be flying with Daisy until we have a private jet that Daisy can go on.
Understood.
So anyway.
So folks can get get in touch with you through your website, through Facebook,
yes.
If they're interested in meeting Daisy or learning more about everything that you all do.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, you guys, and thank you for the work that you do.
Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we will talk to you again.
Take care.
Okay, thank you.